Today on Jay Sekulow Live, justice denied. Senate Democrats are poised to block the police reform bill. We'll talk about it today.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I have been hearing from the leadership on my friends and senators on the Democrat side say that their leaders do not want them to sign on for even a motion to proceed.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
It appears to me that if they follow their leadership, we will not have any discussion on the bill at all, because they believe that police reform is a better election year issue than police reform is an issue to be solved for the vulnerable communities that started this entire discussion.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. And it is being reported now that Senate Democrats, and you just heard Senator Tim Scott, audio from him in an interview he did, saying that he's hearing that Senate Democrats are poised to stick together, or at least try to, that you've got the leadership of the Democrat Party trying to stick together to stop the Justice Act, which was proposed by Senator Tim Scott, a U.S. senator from South Carolina, a Republican, also African-American, put together the Justice Act, police reform that, again, you could see was substantive. It was something, again, and the Justice Act stands for the Just and Unifying Solutions to Investigate Communities Everywhere Act, justice being kind of the synonym there, the acronym there. But, Than, you've had the legislation has been out for a significant period of time. We supported the ACLJ. We've been calling on people to act. Now we're starting to see, and the day before this was likely to hit the U.S. Senate for a vote, and Majority Leader McConnell was looking for Wednesday specifically as the date. You now see Senate Democrat leadership. So you've got Schumer, Durbin, who remember called this a token effort and used that term, and then only apologized then through his spokesperson. But they've also got people like Tester out of Montana coming out opposing this as well.
Yeah, this is really tragic, Jordan. I mean, the vote is scheduled to happen tomorrow. And remember, it's just a vote to proceed to consideration of the bill. It's not a final vote. There would be a process where anybody could offer amendments. But it really looks like Leader Schumer is calling the shots on this, Jordan. And that, quite frankly, I'm just going to say it like it is. He's choosing politics over progress on policy. Because I'm going to say it again. I've said it many times on this broadcast. So many provisions in Senator Scott's bill overlap a lot with the bill that Speaker Pelosi is advancing in the House, and there is a real path to make law here, because President Trump has said he does want to sign a police reform bill with many of these tactics in it. But Leader Schumer is pushing very hard for his senators inside the Democrat caucus to oppose cloture on the motion to proceed. That just means he is calling on them to not even debate this bill. Jordan, we're hearing from John Tester. We're hearing from Elizabeth Warren. We're hearing from Senator Booker. We're hearing from Senator Harris. All are going to decline, at least as of now, to even engage this debate. So far, Jordan, the only senator who looks like on the Democrat side of the aisle that he's going to vote to proceed to the bill is Doug Jones from Alabama. Joe Manchin has said he's open to it as well. But look, let me just say it like it is. You need seven Democrats to begin debate. And Leader Schumer, Jordan, he's issued an edict to his caucus. He has told them, vote no, we're not even going to engage this debate.
Yeah, I mean, you realize that Democrats don't even want to discuss or debate police reform because this is election year. It's disgusting. And that they could again, Than, come up with rules to this. We could talk about it more when we come back. We'll talk about it more with Than in Washington, D.C. But they could come up with agreements to have debates on amendments that they want to propose. And of course, this legislation would then have to go through the House. I mean, you know, this is not going to be the final legislation. This is getting the debate started. This is opening the debate. And they're opposed to it. So when they tell you that they're taking so seriously these civil rights issues of our time, they're not. They're playing politics. It's disgusting, but it's typical of the Democrat Party. We're going to take your phone calls. What do you think about this move by Democrats, showing their true colors, if you will? Playing politics with race, what they're used to doing, instead of actually doing real civil rights reform. 1-800-684-3110. Remember our petition as well, and our new initiative on school choice. Sign that petition at ACLJ.org.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I encourage you to call in if you've got reaction to Senate Democrats threatening to block Senator Tim Scott's Justice Act from even moving forward in the U.S. Senate to debate. So they're not just threatening to vote against it. They're threatening to actually prevent debate on the bill, which is a police reform bill that they just don't think goes far enough on certain areas. Well, if they don't think it goes far enough, and we could get into that as well, why not propose specific amendments and explain those amendments during the debate? Oh, I know why. Because you like race for political purposes in election year. You don't like actually dealing with solutions. You don't like school choice. You don't like actual police reform that can get passed through Congress at the federal level at this kind of speed. No, you have to go so far with things that legislation won't ever get through, will never get through a Republican Senate. You will not compromise. But this is typical of Democrats. Race for politics, wonderful. Actual reform, why have you never seen any in Joe Biden's history of being in the U.S. Senate so long? Why didn't you see this done under President Obama even for 8 years? Why was criminal justice reform first done under President Trump? Major criminal justice reform. Why did it take a executive order from President Trump to get the ball rolling on this? Because the Democrats would like to just have politics with it. That's the truth. That's the serious, sick truth of this. And I'm not afraid to say it. And, you know, I think people like Senator Scott are not afraid to say it. And let's remind you that Dick Durbin used terms like token in describing legislation that was put together by an African-American, but it happens to be a Republican, U.S. Senator Tim Scott. I mean, Than, to me, this is just inexcusable. I hear Cory Booker saying, you know, it's not substantive enough. It's symbolic, but not substantive enough. Why not have that in the debate? Tell the American people what you want to do. Put forward those changes, but at least have the debate on it.
Yeah, look, Senator Booker, Senator Harris have both said they like the House bill better than the Senate bill, and they are the champions of that on the Senate side. Leader McConnell, Jordan, has said, look, you can put your bill up as a substitute amendment. We can debate that in the United States Senate, or you can pull pieces out of it, offer them as amendments. We will agree with that. Jordan, here's the bottom line. All of the common ground reforms that are in both of these bills are not going to happen if Senate Democrats do not engage this debate. Let me just give you four of them. Funding for police cameras. There's broad agreement in both bills that should be increase. That won't happen if a law is not made here. Making lynching a federal crime, broad agreement in both bills, won't happen if the debate is not engaged. Banning or reducing chokeholds, there are different methods in these two bills, but both accomplish largely the same end. That won't happen if this debate is not engaged. A reduction of no-knock warrants and reporting of those, Jordan, that won't happen if this debate is not engaged. So I go back to where you started. What is the only rationale for not beginning this debate? The only rationale that I can come up with, Jordan, is that one side of the aisle in the United States Senate wants this issue alive come November so that they can campaign on it. Jordan, that is a disservice to the people that they say they are trying to help.
Yeah, well, they don't want President Trump again being the president of the United States. They don't want a Republican-led Senate passing legislation and then a Republican president who's up for re-election in a few months signing the second major reform, a civil rights reform, if you will, because this is a civil rights issue, this police reform issue, and they don't want him doing that. They didn't like him doing that with criminal justice reform. You saw the response to those in the African-American community who worked with President Trump, not because they necessarily were Republicans or supported him electorally on criminal justice reform, which was major reform, by the way, and were criticized. Then you see in this legislation, again, calling it things like token. But here's Senator Scott. I mean, this is what he's hearing about what Senate Democrats plan to do. Take a listen.
I have been hearing from the leadership on my friends and senators on the Democrat side say that their leaders do not want them to sign on for even a motion to proceed. It appears to me that if they follow their leadership, we will not have any discussion on the bill at all because they believe that police reform is a better election year issue than police reform is an issue to be solved for the vulnerable communities that started this entire discussion.
You know, it's just to me, and again, I want to go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. I encourage you to share this broadcast. If you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, click that share button now with your friends and family. Click share because bring more people and they should know. The obstruction here and the truth. The truth is, the reason why the left criticizes school choice is because they'd rather, again, continue to have political issues about failing schools in underserved communities. The reason why the left won't even have a debate on this legislation and is pushing not to have a debate is because Dan said it's an election year and they don't want a Republican president signing on to a major reform. They don't want him getting the credit. And so they again would rather not, as he said, move forward on things that would make much stiffer the penalties for the use of chokeholds. And also at a federal level, by the way, which is difficult in its own world to have this reform. But because of the funding that goes out, you can have some. But to say, you know, these no-knock warrants severely limit those, have to report them. On the use of chokeholds, that if it wasn't used in a situation where a police officer was going to use deadly force already, then there's serious implications for that department. I mean, the truth is that's where, you know, the federal government can go. And there's federal laws on lynching, commissions on the social status of Black Men and Boys Act. I mean, you're talking, this is what they're not allowing to have a debate about. They're not allowing a debate on law enforcement reform. They're not allowing a debate on body-worn cameras. They're not allowing a debate on law enforcement records retention, justice for victims of lynching, the commission, as I just mentioned, alternatives to the use of force, de-escalation behavior, National Criminal Justice Commission Act, establish a commission to undertake a review of the criminal justice system, law enforcement agency hiring and education, best practices and studies. All of this, folks, again, is being prevented from a debate. We're going to get phone calls now, 1-800-684-3110. Robert's calling from Maryland online, too. Robert, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Yeah, hi, Jordan, and hi, Dan. I think you may have answered my question as to the reason why the Democrats are opposing the police reform bill that's being sponsored by South Carolina Senator Tim Scott. And so one of the things I wanted to bring up, what alternatives have they suggested in any way to Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and others within the leadership of the Democratic Party in the Senate that should be included in the bill? And what have they stated are some of their objections to the substantive aspects of the bill that is being crafted and drawn up by Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina?
Well, here's what's interesting is that they have their House bill that they could present during the debate. Senator McConnell, this is the interesting thing, Robert, is that the majority leader has said you could present that and we could vote on it and have a debate on it in its entirety. You could also, Than, come up with agreements on what amendments you would allow being offered and have the debate on those amendments. And then ultimately, if this was even to pass the U.S. Senate, you'd have to reconcile this with the U.S. House some way anyways. So it's not going to be the final say on this. Instead, what they're trying to prevent, Robert, is any movement. In my opinion, they don't want Than, and what I think is they don't want to see anything move forward on reform.
100%, Jordan. I mean, because look, the Speaker Pelosi approach on this is to get to a conference committee. What do you have to do to get to a conference committee? You have to pass a bill out of the United States Senate. Now, what a number of these Senate Democrats will tell you is we want you to pass the House bill, which may get out of the House on Thursday. Jordan, the House bill and the Senate bill overlap by 60 or 70%. So what you would do if you actually wanted to achieve the House bill, you would agree to proceed to the Senate bill. You would offer amendments, just like you said, Jordan. You would see where the process worked out in the United States Senate. Then you would take the Pelosi approach. You would go to a conference committee. You would negotiate the differences. And then senators would have another chance to vote on the final package. They will tell you it's about an issue of qualified immunity or a few little various issues in this bill. Jordan, if it were about those few disagreements, then a conference committee is exactly where you would want to land. But here's what I'll tell you. If you want the status quo, if you want to go into the election without any reform, without any change, you don't want a conference committee because, Jordan, that will produce a law and you can't have that going into an election. The only way to maintain the status quo is to not engage the debate in the first place.
You know, I listened to Senator Schumer on this, talking about the Justice Act, talking about this debate. Take a listen.
This is not a debate about tax policy or transportation policy. It is a matter of the constitutional rights of the American people, and it is truly a matter of life and death. And unfortunately, Senator Scott's bill is deeply and fundamentally flawed.
Than, as you just pointed out, 60% of this bill is found in the House bill that they love. 60%, folks.
Yeah.
I mean, and you want to add, then you can have the debate about, you know, qualified immunity. You can have the debate about that and you come to an agreement. As Than said, they know that the end game in this is that you'd have the House and the Senate come together and they'd produce a bill, an agreement, and that's the most dangerous that would be signed by President Trump, and that's what they can't allow. So if they really believed it was a life and death issue, you think they'd actually take action on it? Oh, but it's too good for politics. We'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110, and we'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. And we've been focusing in on, we'll continue to have that discussion on the Senate Democrats being led by Chuck Schumer and Dick Durbin, who used a racist term to describe this legislation just last week when he called it token. It was racist, of course, because it was written by an African-American U.S. Senator, Tim Scott, this legislation, the Justice Act. And he called it token on the floor of the Senate. And when he apologized through a press statement criticizing the act. I mean, he didn't actually apologize himself. He did it through a spokesperson in a written statement. Again, underscoring the truth about where the Democrats are on this, which is unfortunate to say, but they have a long history of behaving this way when it comes to race issues, when there could actually be reform, major national reform, because there's national agreement, things that were wrong in the George Floyd matter and these other cases, issues that were wrong, misconduct that should be addressed. It should be addressed, you know, widely at the federal level. And yet they don't want to even move forward to discuss. You know, what are their, you keep seeing them on television saying, well, they don't like it because it's not substantive enough. There's not enough teeth in it. The whole point was to take the president's executive order and give it teeth then, and you take an executive order to give it teeth, you pass legislation which puts your funding in jeopardy, your federal funding in jeopardy, if you don't follow along with what the federal law requires you to do, which is what the Justice Act does on all these different points.
Yeah, and let's take that criticism head on, Jordan. I mean, one of the areas where they will say it doesn't go far enough is in the area of chokeholds and no-knock warrants. Jordan, what they want the federal government to do is take over jurisdiction in those areas and institute a federal ban. Look, the Tim Scott approach says, I also want to eliminate chokeholds. I also want to dramatically reduce no-knock warrants, but I am not going to take over jurisdiction from state and local jurisdictions, because that, in the end, would exacerbate the problem. We would take the power further away from the people. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tie the very extensive federal funding that go to these precincts in the form of grants. The most popular, the biggest one are what's called burn grants, Jordan, and say if local jurisdictions do not comply, they will lose that funding. In the end, Jordan, the same exact thing is going to be accomplished on chokeholds and no-knock warrants, except for one thing. Where the authority resides. And Jordan, the Democrats want to pull that power to Washington, D.C., take the decision-making out of local communities, out of states, whereas the Tim Scott approach would leave it there. So the end result, Jordan, is the same thing except for where the authority resides. And on that one point, they will say it's not substantive enough. It is not accurate, Jordan, to say that this does not have teeth. Tying the burn grant funding and the other grant funding to these requirements will accomplish that end, and they know it.
All right, let's go to Larry calling in from Maryland on line 5. Larry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Jay. I wanted to take an opposite point of view, and that is there are two things. One, this piece of legislation has not been backed by any civil rights organization that opposes it. And then two, there was an interesting comparison made earlier about how the federal government was stepping
ACP,
in.
Let's be honest, the NAACP is not going to support anything Republicans put forward. They're just not. And so, I mean, if that's what you're talking about, unfortunately, the NAACP has become, it's not the history, but it has become a group which, if it's not supported by, if it's not a Democrat initiative, they're not going to support it.
Well,
and again, I mean, they can have disagreements with these kind of reforms. They can have changes that they want, but I think to say that no civil rights group, you're talking about these groups which have basically become part of the liberal Democrat Party machine. I mean, that's what they become. They weren't started that way, but they have become that. But you had another point to make.
Yes, well, the other side of the coin is that NAACP is not the only civil rights organization in America, one. And then two, the second point
was...
I'm
just asking you, who else? I saw that they actually actively opposed it. So that's why I addressed that. If there's other groups you know, you can mention them. If you're talking about Southern Poverty Law Center, same thing.
Well, Southern Poverty Law Center is considered historically to be a civil rights organization, but not only that, National Organization of Cities has also. But the second point was that you mentioned earlier about the federal government stepping in and taking authority from the local state governments, but with regards to abortion rights, that's exactly what they've done. And yet you don't hear this argument being made in that regard. So there are some things that within the bill also with regards to liability for officers. I mean, officers can basically go out and do a lot of things and commit a lot of crimes, and there have been only 1% in the last 10 years of officers that have had things brought before them that have been convicted of anything, and there have been over 1,000 cases. So it's interesting to me to say that the bill has teeth, but yet the more substantive issues and the more hard-hitting issues are not backed by anyone that represents persons of color.
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, I think Senator Scott does, considering he's African-American and grew up in South Carolina. And, you know, so I think, again, you can have disagreements with pieces of this. This is not going to be the final legislation, even if it passed the Senate the exact way, in the exact form, Than, that Senator Scott proposed it. But I want to kind of take this piece by piece. One is to say it's not civil rights. There's not civil rights groups. Technically, groups like the ACLJ are civil rights organizations. We again, if you're talking about then African-American specific groups, and that's their only focus, I've seen, you know, those big ones that have opposed it who have become very much apparatus of the Democrat Party. But second, Than, I mean, we're talking about immunity issues at the civil level as well. I think that's where he was going. But a lot of people who are reading that are putting their opposition to this, I don't think they even understand what they're opposing. The truth is they're getting talking points and they don't fully understand what they're saying. So that qualified immunity is on the civil lawsuit side, and you can get over that when you see a substantial and if you have more laws, a substantial violation of laws.
Yeah, I really appreciate Larry's call, Jordan. I really do. And I would just argue that advancing funding for body cameras, reducing the use of chokeholds, making federal lynching a federal crime, all of those are important civil rights advances, Jordan, that will be left on the cutting room floor if this debate is not engaged. So if you're okay with the status quo, if that's the civil rights agenda that you have, that would be the approach to take. I think that would be a tragic mistake. On the issue of qualified immunity, Jordan, Larry's correct. I mean, there is a divide in Washington, D.C. It's not strictly a partisan one. In fact, Senator Braun, who's a Republican in the United States Senate, has a bill to lower the threshold for qualified immunity. And I think that's a debate that is going to have take place. I don't agree with Senator Braun on this one, but my position on it isn't particularly relevant here. But here's the point I want to make, Jordan. If that is a part of this package, all those other civil rights reforms that we talked about, they aren't going to happen. There is not a consensus on that right now. So if that's a part of this bill, these reforms do not happen. The smart approach here is to get what you can get now, and then the issues where there is a disagreement, like qualified immunity, have a separate debate. Take up Senator Braun's bill and have a debate.
All right, folks, we encourage you to continue to share this broadcast with your friends and family. If you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, if most of you who are listening in on radio, we got a second half hour coming up at JSecio Live. Continue to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Remember, we just launched yesterday our School Choice Initiative at the American Center for Law and Justice. Now, school choice has been something we've been involved in legally for decades, but we now have a specific initiative, and we've got a petition up as well, so you can take grassroots action on this to demand school choice to give every child equality of opportunity and justice. ACLJ.org, sign that petition. We're going to be working on model legislation that can be adopted in states. We've talked about these issues, and we're going to do a lot more work on this. We're just now launching the School Choice Initiative. Check it out and sign that petition at ACLJ.org.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
We will fight for the right. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. If you're just joining us for our second half hour, let me just kind of reset for you. We'll get to the phone calls as well. 1-800-684-3110. I want to get your thoughts on this. We've been trying to answer questions for people, but now Democrats in the U.S. Senate are threatening to block Senator Tim Scott's Justice Act from even moving forward with a debate on the floor of U.S. Senate. So not even saying that they're going to vote no, but actually taking that additional step to say we're not even going to debate this on the floor of the U.S. Senate. Our position at the ACLJ, and we support the Justice Act, is that by doing this, what Democrats are actually, the goal is they don't want to see any legislation that ends up on the president's desk. This would not be the final legislation. If they took every word that Senator Scott put together in the Justice Act and voted on that, and that's what passed the U.S. Senate, I'll go to Than Bennett, Washington, D.C. Than, is that going to be what actually makes it to the president's desk?
No. Speaker Pelosi still controls the House, yeah, and has to pass both chambers in order to get to the president's desk.
So what it would ultimately do, though, is it would force the House and the Senate to come together and come up with a compromise legislation. And that's what's dangerous for Democrats, is that you could see President Trump not just issuing an executive order, but signing his second major piece of civil rights legislation in his first term. Than.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jordan, we've talked a lot about the politics of this, and I think it has more to do with President Trump being the one that would sign it than it does have to do with Senator Scott bringing it forward. They don't want to hand him a victory in advance of November. I think we had a caller talk about they just don't want to oppose it because it's Senator Scott. That might be partially true. Jordan, I really think it has more to do with President Trump. They don't want him to have a stake in this issue. But how sad is that? Politics has to take a backseat to progress on this issue.
Well, it's so typical, though, of the Democrat Party. Is that they love the issues of race for political purposes, but when it comes to actual solutions, when it comes to solving matters, you see it like, okay, hey, we could get police reform done at the federal level, and actually solving that, they don't want to move forward because of political calculations. When it comes to improving schools, and as part of that, having school choice available to parents in failing school districts, they don't want to actually move forward on that. Because they're owned by the teachers' unions, controlled by the unions. And so, again, what we see on all these issues, when actual improvements are put forward, their response is either, well, we can't do that because of this, or you're not going far enough, so we're not going to move forward at all. We're not even going to let you debate. We're not going to have the debate on the specifics of the issue, even though that's a phony excuse. Because we just explained to you, this would not be the final legislation that ever got to the president's desk, because you'd have to still work with the Democrat-controlled House of Representatives. There'd have to be compromises made on some of those disagreement issues, like qualified immunity that we've talked about. So 1-800-684-3110, if you've got questions about this. Than, do you still think this is going to move forward tomorrow? Do you think that Senator McConnell's going to kind of force Democrats to actually filibuster this?
Yeah, he's going to take this vote, Jordan. Part of the reason it got pushed back behind the nomination of Corey Wilson was that he was trying to work out a deal. He was trying to come to an agreement with at least seven Democrats, preferably with Leader Schumer, so that he wouldn't have to force a cloture vote. But Jordan, he has committed that the Senate will not move to another piece of legislation until this piece of legislation is taken up. And quite frankly, I think that's the last move. One point I would just emphasize, Jordan, I said that Leader Schumer is calling the shots on this for the Democrats, and I think that's true. But guess what? He does not get to vote for Senator Tester. He does not get to vote for Senator Jones. He does not get to vote for Senator Booker. So he might be calling the shots on this, but we've got to hold each senator accountable for the vote that they cast. They're going to have to cast one tomorrow. Are they willing to engage this debate?
Folks, up at ACLJ.org, we have a list of U.S. senators for you to contact with their phone numbers. Democrats specifically, because you need seven here. It's on the blog, The Senate Can't Stay Silent. It's time to debate the Justice Act. And we encourage you to call those Senate offices, specifically those 13. You still have time to do that and demand justice. And just tell them, hey, we want you to vote. Move forward on allowing a debate on the Justice Act. Vote yes on that. You're not even telling them how to vote on the actual act. Remember, too, our new school choice initiative we have just launched at the American Center for Law and Justice. Sign the petition on that. Get involved at ACLJ.org, because education is a civil...
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
There's a question coming in because this is something that has been discussed as kind of an issue of why there's opposition to Senator Scott's legislation, the Justice Act, and qualified immunity. And Joyce on Facebook wrote in, what is meant by qualified immunity? So it's not immunity from prosecution. What it is under qualified immunity, it's a doctrine, by the way, kind of a legally established doctrine, is that government officials performing functions as government officials where they have to make decisions, so discretionary kind of functions, are immune from civil suit. So just the civil suit. Unless, okay, so there's an exception already to qualified immunity. Plaintiffs show that the official violated clearly established statutory or constitutional rights. So if they were convicted under a criminal case, then you can almost certainly bring the civil action. Where it becomes more difficult is when a jury doesn't convict you of the criminal case to bring it because of the qualified immunity standard. But all this is about the civil side of trying to what? File lawsuits to get the assets of police officers who are underpaid. Let's be honest about that. Nationally underpaid for the jobs that they do. No one wants to talk about that as well. But then, I mean, the truth is that is one of the big differences, but it's a difference that can even be discussed because, as you pointed out, there's Republicans in the U.S. Senate willing to put forward legislation to lower that threshold that I just went through to make it easier to bring the civil action, the civil lawsuit against the officer.
That's right, Jordan. And I'm not quite sure where that conversation would end up, but you're right. It's essentially a discussion over how much protection, how much benefit of the doubt should a law enforcement officer get? Where should that threshold be? Senator Braun has a bill that would lower that threshold and increase the opportunities for those who believe their rights have been violated to pursue recourse against that officer. Jordan, the debate on where that threshold should be is a serious one. I don't think there's any even disagreement that debate can be in this bill. In fact, Senator Braun can get with Senator Booker and bring that amendment to this bill. But what I'm telling you is the political reality is I don't see a compromise that can get to the requisite votes to actually be added to the bill. Now, if I'm wrong on that, they could add that during the course of this debate, but that just kind of underscores the point that we've been making. If you don't pass the motion to proceed, you can't bring that amendment in the first place, so you can't even have the conversation. The bill is dead, and you get the status quo.
I'm going to go back to the phones. Chris calling in from Illinois, online one. Chris, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Chris.
Thank you for all you do, first of all.
I appreciate that.
And being from Illinois... Yeah. The land of lost opportunity anymore. Dick Durbin's comment about Tim Scott was absolutely disgusting. When you played that last week, I literally had tears in my eyes because I'm so embarrassed to live here anymore, and it's actually one of the reasons why we're moving. But Tim Scott's bill that he is proposing is absolutely brilliant, and 60, like you said, 60 to 70% of it is already stuff that the Democrats have been asking for years. Yeah. So why are they so against even talking about this? It's beyond me.
You know, it's Chris, and let me, we're going to play that sound from Dick Durbin just so everybody knows what we're talking about. And I know you do, and it was disgusting. And his response, his fake apology was disgusting as well, which was a written statement through a press spokesperson. So it wasn't even attributed to him apologizing. It was attributed to a press statement. But it's all about politics. I mean, Senator Scott has said it. It's about keeping the politics of this alive through an election instead of actually getting reform done when you've got people's attention about it and you can actually come to an agreement and you might not get everything you want, but you might get two-thirds of what you want. You might get 75%. You might get 85% of what you want and get that signed, and yet you're not willing to do that because it's an election year. But this is what Dick Durbin said. This is the beginning of this. And as you point out, from Illinois, but also he's the Democratic whip. This is a top-breaking Democrat in the U.S. Senate. Take a listen.
So what we say on the Democratic side is we cannot waste this historic moment, this singular opportunity. Let's not do something that is a token, half-hearted approach. Excuse me. Let's focus instead on making a change that'll make a difference in the future of America.
And that again, he uses the word token, and it's, again, the racial connotations of that when you have a African-American U.S. senator whose legislation you're talking about. And, Than, I mean, Senator Scott said that he was offended by that, deeply offended by that statement from Dick Durbin, and Dick Durbin's response was to issue a statement through a press person.
I was offended by it too, Jordan. Every American should be defended by it. This debate is not a token debate. In fact, it's the fundamental debate of our time. It's the civil rights issue of our day. And our elected officials of all people should be rising to the occasion to debate the issue. Look, I would say the same thing I said a minute ago. Senator Tester should be offended by it, and he should vote to debate this bill. Senator Warren should be offended by it. Senator Booker, Senator Harris, they should be offended by those remarks by Leader Durbin, and they should vote to proceed to the bill. And, Jordan, I would just tell you this. I've never, ever, in my 20 years in Washington, D.C., seen a perfect bill or a perfect law. We make strides in increments, and if you do not agree that that is the case, you should not be a United States senator.
We'll continue to take your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Donna calling from New Jersey on line two. Donna, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call. I want to first compliment you guys very much. Very informative. You really keep me up to date, and I appreciate you all very, very much.
Thank you.
My simple question is, it may seem too simple, but what can we as citizens do to get these politicians to vote on this Justice Act? What can we do? What can we do? Can we, again, call our senators, call our congressmen? I think it's just, I understand the politics, but it's ridiculous. And I'd like to be able to do something. Can we?
Yeah. Well, I think this is what you need to do is you go to ACLJ.org. We've given you the action item, and Than, so we put together for people. It's right on the homepage of ACLJ.org. You will see a post. It's called "It's a Time to Debate the Justice Act." If you click on that, you will see a list of 13 Democrat senators with their direct phone numbers to their office. And we ask you to make the phone calls to those senators and ask them. All you need to do is to ask them to vote to begin the debate on the Justice Act. Vote yes. You're not saying they have to vote yes on the act. Just vote yes on the debate. We also encourage you, so call both of your senators in New Jersey. One of those is on the list, Senator Booker. But then this is something that every one listening, if they want to take some action today, because this is going to happen tomorrow, they can go to our website, and we've put together this specific list of 13 senators. They can also contact their two U.S. senators.
Yeah, three very easy things to do, but very impactful things, Jordan. I mean, if they sign that petition, we will be speaking for them in Washington, D.C. Of course, they should contact both their senators, no matter who they are. And then these 13 Democrat senators that we've pulled out, because we think they're gettable, no matter what they've said on this, Jordan. We think that their previous statements or their political ideology should align themselves to vote for a yes. So their direct dials to their offices are in that blog, in that action point, Jordan. And I would just give you a couple of talking points. Number one, tell them to take the Pelosi approach. Nancy Pelosi wants to get to conference. In order to get to conference, you have to have a Senate bill. In order to get a Senate bill, you actually have to debate the bill. So tell them to vote with Nancy Pelosi and proceed to this bill. And one other thing, I would tell them to say what Senator Scott has been telling them. Your priorities, at least the ones you say you stand for, they align with the policies and the priorities that President Trump has outlined. They align with the policies and priorities that I've outlined in this bill. Let's come together and let's say the same thing. Let's do the same thing. Let's make a law.
Folks, if you want to talk to us on air, final segment's coming up, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I mean, listen, this is Nancy Pelosi talking about this with Andrea Mitchell on MSNBC, Byte 27.
Do you think that there can be a compromise between the Republican Senate position and the position coming out of the House and really get police reform done this summer?
Well, let's just say we always hope there can be a compromise. We always strive for bipartisanship. We have a responsibility to find our common ground. But when we can't find our ground, we must stand our ground, and we must stand our ground to say no chokeholds, no racial profiling, no to no-knock warrants. That list goes on. Maybe there can be some compromise in some of the language and other aspects of the bill.
Okay, all of that, and Senator Scott has said this as well, all of that, Than, is in his legislation. So now they move the ball, they move the goalpost, as we say. So that because he put that in there, no to no-knock warrants, no to racial profiling, no to chokeholds, and so now it's qualified immunity has to be the new debate. You know, it's a different issue to move the goalpost.
Jordan, are we actually trying to reduce the use of chokeholds, or are we trying to talk about reducing the use of chokeholds? Because both of these bills say that they want to eliminate or reduce the use of chokeholds. But Jordan, if neither of them happens, there's going to be no change in how chokeholds are policed or enforced across the United States of America. I'm pretty sure that many people in Washington, D.C., they just want to talk about this, Jordan. They don't actually want to reduce the use.
Yeah, folks, go to ACLJ.org. Take action on this. As again, Donna called about what she can do. We've got it for you up at ACLJ.org. And we encourage you as well to support our new school choice initiative. We believe that education is a top civil rights issue of our time and that we've got to take action on this. Sign that petition at ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. And as we've described this Justice Act, this move by Democrats, let me just tell you, it's disgusting. It started out with Dick Durbin's disgusting comments calling it token when it's Senator Scott, an African-American U.S. Senator's legislation. Senator Scott said that hurt his soul. You know, it should hurt everyone when they hear that. And he only apologizes through a press spokesperson because he didn't actually want to be on the record orally, you know, apologizing for that where we could play his apology. No, he didn't want to do that. But second, when Senator Scott included everything that Nancy Pelosi said was a non-negotiable, they've changed where the goalpost has to be because they are disgusting on the left. When it actually comes to racial issues and issues of race and civil rights, they would rather have the issue politically than have solutions. That's why the schools are still crumbling. That's why those certain zip codes are so poorly run, poorly managed, and things don't get better. Things don't improve. They don't actually get the. They don't actually pass the real reforms. They use it for political issues. Then they forget about it until they come back to it again when the country wants to, and they come up with reasons why not to support reforms. Think about that. They come up with reasons why not to support reforms to our education system, not to support reforms to our failing schools, not to support reforms to the policing issues. That's what they come up with, excuses why not to support any reforms, any changes, any new solutions. And listen to Senator Scott. That's what they've done with his legislation now, Bite 18.
Their priorities, fortunately and unfortunately for them, matches pretty well with the president's priorities. And those two matches really well with my priorities and the Senate priorities on the Republican side. So now we're having to ask a political question. If you get two-thirds of you want what you want out of the gate, why would you change the rules and change the goalposts?
I mean, so think about that. So, Thea, we just talked about that because of the no-knock warrant issue, the chokehold issue, the racial profiling issue, that's all included in the Justice Act. I mean, those just, and it's actually just a small part of what's actually included in the Justice Act because there's body camera language. There's a whole host of different issues. There's commissions that will be established to look at this. So they've changed the goalposts. Now it's like, I think it's the, they're going to say it's the qualified immunity issue and it doesn't go far enough there. But of course, then there's Republican senators ready to have that debate and even lower the threshold of what that is. And Nancy Pelosi didn't initially say that was some issue that she couldn't compromise on.
Yeah, and I'd make a prediction for you, Jordan. I think if that issue were debated, the qualified immunity issue were debated, and let's say that Speaker Pelosi's position was adopted, it was added to this bill, guess whose opinion it would not change? Leader Schumer's. Leader Schumer has decided he's going to be opposed to this bill no matter what it is in what is in it. So I agree with Senator Scott. I think we need to shift our attention away from Leader Schumer and actually talk to these senators who have a vote on this bill. Say to Senator Coons or Senator Kaine or Senator Shaheen or Senator Sinema, do you agree with Leader Schumer that the status quo is good enough? Or do you want to make progress on some of these issues? Let's take what we have agreement, body camera funding. Making lynching a federal crime, cracking down on chokeholds and no-knock warrants. Let's take that. Let's advance them. And then, by the way, Jordan, let's have a debate on qualified immunity. Let's see where that lands. Let's see if we can come up with a consensus on where that threshold would be. But at the end of the day, let's send President Trump something to sign into law. Because, Jordan, if those four senators that I named and if the 13 senators that we list on our blog, if they decide they're going to go along with Senator Schumer, we get the status quo. That shouldn't be good enough for them.
I encourage you folks, again, if you want to talk to us there, 1-800-684-3110. We got time for a couple more calls. Let's go to Pete in Illinois on line one. Pete, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thank you so much. I always listen to you. I just had a short question, but I'm wondering kind of what happened to Joe Biden in the Midwest here. I mean, we don't very much hear about him. No leadership, and there's so many important issues being brought up just about every day, but from the supposed leader of the Democratic Party, there's not really much going on.
Not the supposed. He is currently, as long as he is their nominee for president and accepts that nomination, however they have their nominating process, however they have their convention that they get together. But he is the leader of the Democrat Party right now. And Dan, I know, you know, he's spending time doing virtual fundraisers, but I think that this issue is far too complicated to have him go out and speak about. If you have to actually have him break down why you'd oppose Senator Scott's legislation, and if he got like a follow-up question on that, way too complicated for Joe Biden.
Well, because there's no rationale to oppose the debate, Jordan. I mean, look, you can have a different opinion on how to enforce a chokehold ban or a reduction on it. You can have a different opinion on where the threshold of qualified immunity could be. But there's no rational basis to not support engaging the debate. And I would tell you this, Jordan, on this particular issue, especially with his past service in the United States Senate, it would be extremely valuable if the former vice president were to come out and say to the Senate Democrats, look, this is an important issue. We need to engage it. I agree with Speaker Pelosi. You should go against Leader Schumer. You should engage this debate. We can see if we should make progress. Jordan, that would be enormously valuable. It's pretty telling that he's not in the conversation.
Folks, let me just encourage you. I mean, just listen to Senator McConnell, Majority Leader of the United States Senate, about how bizarre this is.
Maybe the only group left in Washington that are reportedly agonizing over whether to block a discussion of police reform or let it proceed seem to be our Senate Democratic colleagues. Look, I hope that whatever strange political calculations are making this difficult for our friends across the aisle will yield to common sense and to the American people's hunger for progress. We're going to find out when we vote later this week.
Again, I mean, it is so bizarre, the American people's hunger for progress, and it's a time when the American people have come together in agreement that there needs to be this reform done. It's happening at the state levels already. We could see federal reform. The president's put an executive order. He's already done that. We could see legislation that the president would sign, even with this divided Congress, and yet they want to block the debate on it from even moving forward. And that they are the last group left, the Senate Democrats, who don't even want to let this move forward with a debate. We encourage you folks to get on ACLJ.org. You can sign our petition as well. And you still have time to call those 13 Democrat U.S. senators and ask them to vote yes on moving forward on debate on the Justice Act. And the vote is likely tomorrow. I do want to update you. The ACLJ, we got a key ruling in a case to defend a church ministry that restores lives from unlawful government discrimination. We've talked about this case before. It's out of Georgia. Involved Vision Warriors Church. And a zoning issue, a church zoning issue in Cherokee County. When we filed the lawsuit, of course, Cherokee County filed a motion to dismiss. Well, the federal judge has disagreed with Cherokee County's motion to dismiss, is allowing the ACLJ to move forward. The court rejected the county's arguments and noted that, quote, the historical background and the sequence of events leading up to the county's challenged actions should suggest discriminatory intent. So now we will move forward with discovery. So a significant, victory there in moving forward with that case. And we want you to get behind is what we believe is the civil rights issue of our time, which is education. And the School Choice Initiative, which we have just launched at the American Center for Law and Justice. We have a lot of expertise in this issue in the courts. We're going to be putting together model legislation at the state level. We're going to be doing more at the federal level. We're going to be doing more in court. So go to ACLJ.org. Stand with us on, again, this education and school choice initiative. We want you to be part of that at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Demanding school choice and giving every child the equality of opportunity and justice. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Ready when you are, Jordan.
All right.